Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Yo.
We are on chapter 63 of Journey to the West. And as a warning before we continue, this chapter is going to have mutilation of prisoners as a fun thing, as well as the normal violence we come to expect from our lovely hyper murder monkey.
Canon typical level of murder. Yay.
I am a little bit groggy, as I had a nap shortly before recording this. And
I got COVID.
MJ has COVID, so
Yay. I'm not as no, nowhere near as bad as I was the last time I had COVID. Last time I had COVID, I had a fever for 5 days. It did not break. Did I message you during that time? Were you one of the people?
I don't think so.
I messaged a bunch of people. I was completely fucking delirious. And when I just messaged a bunch of just the weirdest fucking stream of consciousness shit, I woke up to like six different messages going, "Please tell me you're not on drugs." And I'm just like, "Oh no, I just have COVID. I'm so sorry." But yeah, this is
Would
day
you
one of
recommend COVID
isolation.
as a trip?
No. Absolutely not. Try holotropic breathing before you try COVID. I am on day one of isolation, and I looked for sympathy on Twitter, and Quiva asked me publicly if we should delay recording, and our number one fan, Janet, I said we should probably do it now before I start to get too weird, because if I am inside for long periods of time, I do get extravagantly weird. And she said, "What are you not weird while recording?" Which is fair, which is true. You don't know the depths of oddity to which I can descend if I am left alone into my own devices, Janet. Pray you never find out.
That'll be the next bonus episode.
Next bonus episode is just MJ completely losing their fucking mind. Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell me you don't hate me, Quiva, just real quick?
I don't hate you.
Okay, can you say it again like you mean it?
I genuinely love
Because
you
that
very
will just be
much.
that entire S episode and it'll just escalate. I'll be begging your cat to forgive me for sins I have imagined entirely in my head. I've got a full picture of Esso being very sleepy now.
My webcam is just pointed directly at Asoga instead of me. She's asleep on my desk. And yeah, the next bonus episode is actually me talking about Dragon Ball, which we've mentioned many times before, and I had never actually read up until, well, I didn't read all of it because there's like 500 issues of it, but I
There,
read.
who's got the time?
Yeah, I read the first 24, which is basically at which point it stops having any tenuous connection to Journey to the West. And I talked about it with my friend Jen, rather than MJ, because Jen has read all of Dragon Ball.
I see how it
So
is.
she was able to
You
lend.
just told me you didn't hate me, Quiva. We're gonna start this episode off on a lie, Quiva. Is this? It's fine. I'm not actually spiraling that much. Just a little
So
bit. I'm gonna look at the cat again.
do you look at the cat?
Oh, she just turned over. Oh my God, she's got her nose just up against the camera now.
This might have been a mistake. This may hinder the recording.
No, never. Also, is a very integral part of the process.
Okay. So
Okay.
anyway, if you subscribe to the Patreon, you'll get episodes as soon as they're finished editing, and also a couple of bonus episodes, including that one with my friend Jen and me discussing Dragon Ball.
Woo. I'm not actually upset. I'm podcast Polly. I'm totally on board with this. I am very happy for you, Quiva.
Thank you. On to the actual subject at hand. Last chapter, the pilgrims came to the Sacrifice Kingdom, where a Buddhist relic had been stolen from the local monastery by the All Saints Dragon and his nephew Nine Heads.
Who again is just a guy? And
no, actually,
have nine
sorry.
heads.
It turns out he does have nine heads, even in his human form.
Whoa!
So he has a human
kind of
form,
glitchy.
But he still has nine heads in it. Apparently, we'll get to
I
that
mean,
in a bit.
What's the point at that stage?
I don't know. It seems like it would be awkward to have nine heads on like normal human shoulders, but Wukong and Baji have been sent off to the Green Wave Lagoon, where the All Saints Dragon's Palace is, to go deal with this. And they have with them two prisoners, Busy Bubble and Bubble Busy, who are two of the All Saints Dragon's minions. And Wukong decides to use them to deliver a message to the All Saints Dragon, within both meanings of that word. First of all, he turns his rod into a razor and uses it to cut off Bubble Busy's ears and Busy Bubble's lower lip.
I don't know why that's so much worse than ears, but
he sends them in with a message for the All Saints Dragon, which is basically return the monastery's treasure immediately or he will kill the entire dragon family.
It's getting real mob boss up in here.
It's... Yeah, it really is.
Don Wukong! I'm way too pleased with that.
I was trying to think, could I come up with a mob nickname for Zhu Baji, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know how mob nicknames work.
I don't either. I'm just spitballing. Don Wukong works though. Jimmy the Pig, maybe. Tripitaka can still be just like the monk.
Yeah. So All Saints hears the name Pilgrim Son, and immediately realizes that they're fucked. But his son-in-law is young and arrogant, and he thinks he can take Wukong no problem. So,
oh boy, here we go.
So Nine Heads grabs his Fong Bian Chan, which is a kind of a pole weapon with a crescent blade on one end and a flat shovel looking blade thing on the other end. I can send you a picture of it at least, MJ.
So like you can kill and bury them with one implement. It's handy.
Yeah, I'm not sure how useful it would be as an actual shovel because it's flat, but it's just kind of a wide blade on the other end. Here is a link.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, when you said like curved.
I'm not sure if this is a weapon that was ever really used in like war or is it just like a martial arts thing. Anthony translates it as a crescent tooth spade. I probably could have looked up more information about it, but I didn't.
Yeah, when you said crescent moon blade on top, I sort of imagined a scythe type thing. This isn't like that. I can see how that would work like in a melee if they're like people flanking either side, but otherwise it doesn't seem practical.
I think the other end is the business end. Maybe that might be intended for like catching someone else's weapon or something.
It's like a sideways axe type thing. I don't know.
Sort of.
Presumably someone who knows how martial arts works could also know about that.
Yeah, I will link to some sort of article I will do my research after the fact and link to some article about it in the show notes.
God, Quiva, where's your integrity?
Yeah. So he picks that up and he dons a steel cuirass, a damask robe, a belt of rhinoceros grain, which I assume means rhinoceros skin, but I don't know. Pigskin boots, and
it might be a type of grain.
A belt made of grain, and a shining silver helmet. He only has one helmet, though, even though he has nine heads. You can decide yourself how he wears his one helmet.
This seems like an oversight. It is indeed leather, unfortunately.
Okay. Also, I think Chinese doesn't like have singular and plural forms for nouns. So it could be ambiguous in the original language if it's one helmet or multiple helmets, possibly. I don't know. It just says a helmet in the translation here.
I mean, does he need all nine heads?
I don't know.
All nine heads. How does thinking work? Is it sort of like, you know, those rat king things? Is that what a spinal column kind of looks like?
Yeah, I don't know. Wukong like lost and regrew his head in a previous chapter, so I think the idea of a singular like brain being needed for like one's cognition and personhood and such is not really an idea that's present here.
I'll stop being pedantic, it is magic.
Yeah, there's no like, you know, trope of the multiple heads arguing with each other or anything like that. He does not have multiple personalities or anything.
It seems like an excess of heads, then. Waste of skulls.
Please send us illustrations on Twitter at MonkeyKingPod of how you think Nine Heads wears his silver helmet.
What if it's just like one big helmet and all nine of his heads go in there?
I think that would be funnier. And therefore, it's true.
It would be really funny, but if you hit him on the side, then all the skulls would knock into each other, and that would be hilarious.
Mm. So, Baji lets Nine Heads just fight Sun Wukong for a while, and then eventually tries to sneak attack Nine Heads from behind. But Nine Heads sees him coming on account of the nine heads.
Having nine heads, yeah. Now I can see how it's useful. Yeah.
And he's able to catch Baji's rake and Wukong's staff simultaneously with his spade. The tide in the fight is turning against him, though, so he changes back into his original form, which is a nine-headed insect. So I did look up a small bit. In other translations, it's just referred to as like a beast rather than an insect. I think the word primarily means insect, but can mean a more general term for a creature. So Anthony, you stick with insect.
You had a vision.
I will stick with insect, even though this description does not sound much like an insect. It is 12 foot long. It has feathers, which is also described as being a curly fleece, or maybe he has a curly fleece separate to the feathers. Shaped like a turtle or an iguana, and has two sharp hook-like feet and nine heads in a ring.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't seem like an insect. I wouldn't look at that and go, yep, insect. I don't know of any feathered ones. I don't know, you could... Feathery moths.
Yeah, you could say...
Fuzzy nighttime butterfly boys.
You could look at a fly's feet and describe them as hook-like, although it only has two.
Yeah, well, does he say anything about the skeleton? If he doesn't, yeah.
I mean, it's shaped like a turtle or iguana. That's...
Yeah. Turtles and iguanas are very different shapes.
I'm just going off what Anthony Yu is giving me.
I'm not giving out to you. I'm just saying... Turtle or iguana?
Yep.
I don't know. Follow your dreams. I know the image I have in my head, listeners. Pick your own. Create your own dream nightmare nine-headed spirit creature.
Yeah. So As he's dodging blows, another head. So if you're keeping track at home, it's 10 heads. Shoots out of the middle of his torso, and he grabs Baji by like the bristles on the back of his neck with his mouth, and he drags him off like a kitten
Oh.
back into the Dragon Palace in the Green Wave Lagoon.
I know both of these creatures are horrifying, but that does just sound adorable.
So he has Baji tied up. And the dragons have a banquet to celebrate. Sorry, I'm just adjusting the cat camera.
I still had my eyes trained on the weapon. Where's the cat? Oh, she's doing the slow blink cat thing.
Okay, so Wukong. Sorry. So Wukong thinks of reporting back what's happened, but he's worried that the king of the Sacrifice Kingdom would laugh at him. So instead, because he's useless at fighting in the water, he decides to transform into a crab to go spy on them instead, much like the last time he was here. And I guess I'm the theme of today's episode is walking back what I said about everyone just being guys a little bit. Because in this case, he does transform into a crab.
Okay.
Like, Nine Heads was definitely in human form, but with nine heads before transforming into his, like, monstrous insect form. But Wukong is turning into a crab to go into the palace.
First of all, I am honestly distraught because I did imagine the Sturgeon Generals and all the rest of them as fish. And it was a little bit of a source of magic for me. But also, and I accepted this at face value at the time, you said it makes sense for them all to be guys, at least when they're together, because if you're planning a party or something, you don't want to have like 20 billion different chairs. These people could be anything. Why are we assuming human is default? It could all be fish people. I'm just saying.
Because the text does often refer to them as like having attained human form as a thing.
Whatever.
He ends up chatting to a few crab and shrimp spirits who, again, he has turned into physically a crab, so they are probably also physically crabs.
They're underwater.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for them to be just guys if they're underwater. Unless they're guys with gills.
It's magic.
Oh yeah. It's like we're focusing on the wrong kind of magic here, Quiva. Whatever, I'm fine.
He asks the other crabs and shrimp if they've killed that priest with the long snout yet. But they tell him, no, still tied up over in the East Corridor. Or sorry, the West Corridor. So Wukong finds Baji tied up and he snips him free with his little crab claws. He's apparently not guarded at all because no one notices this. And Baji sneaks out and Wukong finds Baji's rake and brings it back out to him. And they decide to fall back to a familiar plan. Baji will attack them in the palace head on, and if it turns against him, he will flee back to the shore where Wukong will sit waiting.
Tank setting this one out.
So Baji attacks the palace, and Nine Heads, before going to fight him, first gets his wife, Princess All Saints Dragon, to safety. He's a wife guy.
I mean, it's seeing the kind of relationships we've seen in this novel. I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah,
I think
this
it's
won't have
sweet.
a happy ending. Just
No, I know that. I
not
know
for them
that.
at least.
But, you know. No, not at all.
They fight for a bit, but when All Saints Dragon himself and all then his son and his grandson all join in the fight, Baji can't take them all at once, and he runs to the surface where Wukong is waiting. And when they come out to chase Zhu Baji, Wukong manages to bring his rod down on the head of the All Saints Dragon, killing him instantly.
Yeah, not a hope of a happy ending.
So his son and grandson flee immediately, but his son-in-law, Nine Heads, has enough composure to retrieve his body before heading back into the palace. And Baji is like, oh, their spirits will be broken now. They'll be hosting a funeral. They're not going to be attacking us, so we can kind of take it easy and leave them alone for a bit. And Wukong is like, no, we should just go attack them again.
And Baji is the moral core. Something's gone terribly wrong.
I mean, he's just this, like the characterization here is meant to be just that he's being lazy.
Oh yeah, that tracks.
So as they're arguing, Erlang shows up with the six brothers of Plum Mountain. Do you remember Erlang?
Vaguely? I'm going to be honest, Quiva. I barely remember what happened 20 minutes ago. That's all a good day.
Erlang was the god who was a real person who was a hydraulic engineer.
Yeah! From the Deification of Hydraulic Engineers episode.
And avian slut shaming.
Ah, yes. I still think that's our best title. That and little baby slut fruits. I'm a slut for anything with slut in the title. I like it.
Okay, we'll need to figure out how to work that into this episode.
We'll get there. What do you need nine heads for? How many people are you going down on at one time? No, I can't. No, that doesn't work.
So,
Big
yeah.
hit at the gangbang is nine. No, that still doesn't. I'm not. I'm just not. I'm not gonna try. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
It's COVID's fault.
Sure. Let's go with that.
So Erlang is one of the few people who has beaten Sun Wukong in a fight. He is like the original guy who captured Wukong to Dragon Before Heaven. And Wukong is a bit embarrassed about kind of calling out one of the few people who's actually beaten him. And so he asks Baji to go announce him to Erlang instead. But Erlang is friendly with him now. He congratulates Wukong on like his conversion and taking up this righteous pilgrimage and stuff.
Which he totally had a choice in doing,
Which he
100
totally had a
percent.
choice in doing. I guess he could have stayed imprisoned under a mountain forever.
Yeah, do you want to be shot or stabbed, you know?
Wukong asks him to give them a hand with Nine Heads, and Erlang, having been out hunting because he has nothing better to do, basically, is happy to oblige.
Doesn't have any more hydraulics to engineer.
Now, that's what he was doing when he was alive. Now he just hunts a lot.
That's fair retirement.
One of the six sages with Erlang points out that, hey, this is the All Saints Dragon's Palace. He's like never been any trouble, and Erlang is surprised as well. But Wukong tells them the full story, and they just kind of accept it, including that Wukong has already killed him. And
Yeah.
they decide to camp out for the night and attack the palace in the morning. And they stick to the same plan again. Baji goes down on his own, with the rest of them all waiting at the shore. He rushes All Saints Dragon's son as he's standing over his father's corpse and mourning, and just smashes him in the head with the rake and kills him.
Ah,
Real, real,
jeez.
real, real nice, real nice tactics here.
Yeah. That's not.
So the grandson and the son-in-law rush after him, and he leads them back to the surface again. And the grandson is just cut to shreds by everyone waiting there. And Nineheads, now alone and outnumbered, turns back into his insect form. And he flies into the air and darts at Erlang. And he shoots his other extra head out of his torso to grab him. But Erlang's hound
Oh,
leaps.
turtle, now I'm seeing it.
Because of the head coming out. Yeah, maybe, I
Yeah,
guess.
I can kind of see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Anyway, that's one fast iguana turtle.
But Erlang's hound leaps into the air and tears the head off. Now, presumably bleeding quite badly, missing a head, Nineheads tries to flee north, and Baji makes to go chase him, but Wukong stops him and says, "Ah, he'll probably just die anyway with that head bitten off."
I mean, he's still got a full.
This is another kind of mythological backstory. The narrator tells us that Nineheads did survive, and a different mythological creature, the nine-headed bird, is its descendant. So birds evolved from insects, is what we're learning.
Okay, so he just goes off, he has a life, and goes on. Finds a nice bird, settles down,
Yeah, something like that.
raises some iguana turtle chicks,
With nine heads.
lives quietly. Okay.
Instead of chasing him, Wukong shapeshifts into Nine Heads' form, and he tells Baji to chase him back into the palace so he can, like, steal back the treasure in disguise.
Cunning.
So when he runs in, Wukong is met by Ninehead's wife, Princess All Saints, and he tells her, "Okay, we need to hide. They're coming. We need to hide the treasures. Grab them now." And so she grabs the Buddhist relic and the nine leaf agaric. And Wukong takes them off her and does his classic little bit of gloating by wiping his hand over his face to be like,
Ha!
"Ah, monkey, actually, fuck you."
Gotcha.
Gotcha. So she tries to grab the boxes off him again, but Baji bursts in and smashes her over the shoulder and kills her. Happy International Women's Day. Happy International Working Women's
Happy
Day.
International Women's Day. I mean, probably not a working woman.
This is not going to go out like for over another week, but we are recording this on International Working Women's Day.
Yes, that's what we are doing. I mean, she's aristocracy, right? So it doesn't really, you know. Also, this is the first International Women's Day that I have not been tagged in anything, and I am delighted.
Congrats on breaking free of womanhood.
Thank you. Thank you. It took a while. It took a while. Congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you. Where was I? Baji's about to kill the Dragon Queen as well when Wukong says not to. They'll take her back to the Sacrifice Kingdom as a prisoner so she can, like, I guess be evidence and witness about what they did. So Wukong thanks to Erlang for his help. And he heads off with his sage buddies. And when they go back to the Sacrifice Kingdom, the Dragon Mother recounts to the king how her husband and son-in-law stole the relic, and her daughter stole the agaric, and she had nothing to do with either theft. Apparently, also the agaric can, it's like, has some, like, nourishment properties to protect the Sharira Buddhist relic, and it keeps it, like, healthy and indestructible, or some manner of nourishing it.
Well fed.
Yeah. So she begs for her life, and Wukong spares her on the condition that she become the guardian of the pagoda and the treasure from now on. So
this seems unwise.
Well,
hey, person with good reason to hate me and this monastery, do you want to like guard it? Do you want to be in charge of the safety of these people you hate?
They chain her to a pillar in the tower so she can't actually leave it either.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they chain her up in the pillar and they put the relic in a vase up on the 13th floor, and then Wukong uses the agaric as a broom to sweep the entire pagoda, and then he places it in the vase with the relic to look after it. So they're just keeping that. That was stolen off of like the Jade Emperor's wife. They're just keeping it.
Okay. Well, the other guy, hunting former engineer dude.
Erlang, actually. I didn't actually double check the pronunciation. I just kind of assumed it was Erlang because there's a programming language with that same name, but I looked it up and the programming language is not named after him. It's just a coincidence. So they're probably not pronounced the same, actually.
Erlang, you know, he could have snitched, he could have said anything, he could have gone, hey, yeah, actually, I know that, but didn't do it, so. Anyway, I'm sure the gods can come collect if they care.
Yeah. Completely unrelated. Two things that are surprisingly etymologically unrelated. The Tower of Babel and the word Babel are completely unrelated.
I did know that. Yeah.
And also, grapple and grapnel are unrelated etymologically.
Now that one disappoints me. Be so much neater.
One is from a Proto-Indo-European word, it's reckoned, for like hook, and the other from like a Proto-Indo-European word to seize. And Babel is from Babylon.
Yes.
Versus Babel, which is like an onomatopoeia for like baby talk.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I like etymology. So yeah, that's also just the chapter. They have another banquet to celebrate. That's it. They rename the monastery to the Dragon Subduing Monastery.
Nice.
I cannot remember what the name was last chapter.
I don't know. I think it was like. Well, no, the kingdom is the suffering, the sacrifice.
The kingdom is the sacrifice kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, I think the monastery, I remember thinking like it was depressing, and I thought, Jesus, that's almost Catholic. Or maybe it just didn't have a name and I was just depressed that day.
I don't think I wrote down a name in my notes. It may not have had a name other than just being Monastery in the Sacrifice Kingdom, or maybe just had a boring name that I didn't bother writing down.
Yeah, anyway, that new name is better. New name is better.
Okay. That's the chapter. Subscribe to the Patreon. Listen to me talking with my friend Jen about Dragon Ball. The Monkey King Pod is the Twitter account. I'm Oakreef on Twitter, MJ's T-shirt of Trash. I have a website, oakreef.ie. My cat's name is Asog and she's very pretty and I'm petting her.
Social media deets and show notes. Oh my god, the cat is so pretty. The cat is so pretty. Ah, her face is right in the camera again. She's headbutting it. Look at that.
I should post more photos of her as a Patreon bonus. I've done that before. I've done that like twice, I think. I forgot that was a bit I did at some point. Subscribe to the Patreon for photos of my cat.
Awesome content. Yeah. Listen, you can get cat photos anywhere on the internet. When it's a cat you have a relationship with, even if it is a parasocial one, it just hits different. Those cat photos hit different. Oh, she's yawning. She's so regal.
her name actually, just one last thing before we go, because I'm incapable of ending a podcast, is that her name is Asoke, which
Yes.
means stoat in Irish, and I discovered that another term for a slang term for a stoat in Irish is on Vanny Noosel, which is the little lady, basically.
Just a little lady.
She's a little lady who is currently licking between her toes.
It's a very ladylike thing to do, I think. I don't know, I'm not a woman.
happy International Women's Day. What, look, if you're, whether, regardless of whether you're a trans, if you're a transphobe, one of us is still a woman. If you're not a transphobe, one of us is a woman. Say, if you're not a transphobe, one of us is a woman. And if you are a transphobe, one of us is still a woman, I guess. I don't know what, this is a stupid, I don't know what joke I'm trying to make here.
I mean, only one of us is a woman. Either, yeah, no, I think I get it, but I mean, it's also there. The reality exists independent of your bigoted fucking opinion. Suck my phantom dick.
This is not a good note to end the podcast on. Bye.
If I could, I'd end every podcast on suck my phantom dick.